Money and markets. Let me just give you a roundup of where we are. The S&P is now up 10% for the year. Emerging markets down about 1.5%. Gold down 3.8%. Gold. The gold bugs have really had a tough year because gold started to come back up and now is back down in the soup. Bonds have been the big surprise of the year. TLT, the 20-year ETF for 20-year treasuries, is backed off from 20% up for the year down to 17% up for the year. But I just think that's a retracement, and I think the chances are it could really, you know, it could continue to surprise us for the rest of the year. The bond aggregate is up 3%, so it's really the long end that's moved, of course. Whoever thought interest rates would come down even more? I published a commentary on the blog this week called Watch the U.S. Dollar Index. It's very important to me that you read it or at least understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to read it, parts of it, tonight. So if you don't watch the U.S. Dollar Index, I recommend you start doing it. The U.S. dollar is an index of the value of the United States dollar expressed relative to a basket of foreign currencies, the euro, the yen, pound sterling, Canadian dollar, Swedish krona, and the Swiss franc. The index has been rising since the summer. It is correcting now. Given the strength of the rise, a short-term correction is to be expected. As the index rises, there is a correlated growth of financial newsletters predicting the imminent demise of the dollar. As the chorus grows, we are building towards a falling dollar shriek-o-meter. I'm writing this commentary in part a strong, clear message. Ignore the shriekers and pay attention to prices. Keep an eye on the U.S. dollar and related prices. Did you know that the 20-year U.S. Treasury ETF is up 20% this year? Gold is down 3%. Think about it. Where will gold be if the U.S. dollar index rises through 89 or higher, even if the U.S. dollar eventually returns to parity with the euro? A lot of things can happen over the next year. One of the things that can happen is a continued rise in the value of the U.S. dollar. The dollar carry trade has grown up as a result of G7 monetary policies, including the Fed's Q1, 2, and 3. More global debt has been borrowing cheap dollars. With the Fed's QE over, dollars are getting scarcer. If deflationary pressures continue, which is likely given a world struggling under a rising debt load, a lot of institutions could be chasing dollars. The U.S. can print dollars. The U.S. dollar supply is abundant for those who control the printing press. However, that supply is not abundant for the people, companies, and countries around the world that need dollars to pay interest and principal on U.S.-denominated debt and derivatives. Or U.S. dollar-denominated debt and derivatives. They cannot print dollars. They have to spend their dollar reserves or earn dollars. Shrinking exports makes it harder to do so. Lower commodity prices make it harder to do so. If interest rates rise, borrowing more dollars gets harder to do. The forces that manage the slow burn just may enjoy a financial transfusion from the closing trap. Ditto the U.S. stock market. Ditto U.S. real estate and markets where foreigners with dollar reserves are buying. Among others, I recommend that you contemplate what a strong dollar scenario would do to your business and finances and be prepared to find the opportunities and manage the risks involved. While you do, focus on price, not shriek-o-meters. Watch the U.S. dollar index. I wrote this because I continued to hear different commentators. I'm going to write more about it before the end of the month. But a variety of newsletters and commentators saying the dollar's falling, the dollar's falling, the dollar's about to collapse, and it's done nothing but rise since the summer. And in fact, the rise has been too strong. It needs to back off, and it's been correcting this week. But be prepared, because the dollar could be even stronger. So please don't listen to the shrieker meters. I want you to follow price. And just remember, you need to prepare for this thing going many different ways, not just one way. So stop listening to people who have a certain position on the future. You need to be able to go whichever way it goes. QE1, 2, and 3 are over, and what we see is the ECB and the Japanese picking up the monetary stimulus bandwagon. I put a block up on the chart of European earnings as a percent of global earnings. It was very interesting. They started off the strong dollar policy period 95. With 32% of global earnings. It peaked at a little bit above 40% in 2009, and is currently at 24%. Now, obviously, some of that is the swing in the euro, but That's a remarkable drop from 32% down to 22%. And it's an even more remarkable drop from 40% to 22%, which means that Europe is struggling, which means the sanctions over the Russian squabble or the Ukraine squabble with the Russians is making things very painful. And you wonder what it's going to do to the relationship between the euro and the Anglo-American alliance. So I think Europe is in for a tough winter, and it will be interesting to see what happens. It means the Ukraine situation is going to be particularly painful. The one of the issues now is with Republicans winning the Senate, it means much more resistance to approving and passing the IMF reforms that the IMF has been trying to get us to do since 2010. Richard Haass, the head of the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, just published in Foreign Affairs a new article called The Unraveling, How to Respond to a Disordered World. And you read it and you realize, oh my God, they're squabbling. The hotheads, you wonder what the hotheads are proposing to do now. I rarely find myself agreeing with the head of the CFR, but I thought there were some very good paragraphs here that are worth hearing. So let me just read a piece from the article, which is subscriber only, so I'm not putting it up on the blog. North America could once again become the world's economic engine, given its stable, prosperous, and open economy, its 470 million people, and its emerging energy self-sufficiency makes it strong. U.S. President Barack Obama was recently quoted as brushing off concerns that things are falling apart, noting that the world has always been messy and that what is going on today is not something that is comparable to the challenges we faced during the Cold War. Such sanguinity is misplaced, however, as today's world is messier thanks to the emergence of a greater number of meaningful actors and a lack of overlapping interests or mechanisms to constrain the capacity or moderate the behavior of the most radical ones. Indeed, with U.S. hegemony waning, but no successor waiting to pick up the baton, the likeliest future is one in which the current international system gives way to a disorderly one with larger number of power centers acting with an increasing autonomy, paying less heed to U.S. interests and preferences. This will cause new problems, even as it makes existing ones more difficult to solve. In short, the post-Cold World order is unraveling, and will not be, while not perfect, it will be missed. He doesn't mention, I think, that one of the reasons the post-Cold War order is unraveling is because lawlessness on the part of a number of players, including the United States. So if we want law, then we have to practice it. We can't just pontificate about it. But I thought that a very, for the head of the Council on Foreign Relations to declare the New World Order, quote-unquote, the unraveling. I thought that was very interesting. Space race just keeps going. European spacecraft could find 70,000 new alien worlds. Article from Space up on the blog. It's the European Space Agency has something called the Gaia mission, which is looking to map and find distant worlds. So I'll be talking about the new movie Interstellar, but you also makes you wonder whether we're looking for new planets to live on. Big to-do, the European Space Agency has landed its Rosetta satellite, which is out wandering the universe, has landed a robot on a comet, and a big production watching it. I'm going to put up one of the things they did was put up the sort of mapping of the sounds of the comet. It's quite interesting. But this is quite an accomplishment, and it just shows you there is a lot going on in space. Of course, the private space companies have had quite a setback with one of the rocket crashes and the Virgin test plane crashing. So the private space companies have taken quite a hit recently, and it makes you wonder, who is it who wants to make sure that private space commercialization doesn't go too fast? At the workshop, Dr. Farrell made a wonderful comment where he said, because, of course, the private space companies want to fund their early efforts with space tourism. And Joseph said, you know, I just don't think that the powers that be want rich people going up there and seeing what's going on around. Very astute point. post-election rock and roll in Washington. We're seeing it. Obama comes out with a new proposal turning the internet into a utility with more government control. One of our subscribers made an astute comment. Let me just read it. It's up on the blog. At the birth of radio, anyone could broadcast at any power, anywhere, expressing anything, put under regulation by the FCC, ostensibly because radio signals were overlapping and interfering with each other. Content was also restricted, and radio station ownership became an invitation-only community. Television was put under the FCC's control for similar reason, and with the same results, limiting content while ownership became exclusively a game for big money. I've always believed that the internet connection would be treated as an utility, but I was surprised to read, according to Martin Armstrong, calling the internet a utility would be the vehicle for FCC regulation of standards and content also. The government wants one more dangerous means of free expression to be quietly muzzled, just like all the preceding revolutionary opportunities to spread idea. Nothing is what it seems, I guess. If you haven't read Tim Wu's great book, The Master Switch, it's what it's all about, that as soon as a new technology comes out, lots of innovation, lots of creativity, it looks like freedom is increasing, and then wham, it gets pulled back into more central control. It's a remarkable description. I did post a link to Martin Armstrong's comment on the president's proposal. I've been looking for a very good analysis of the details of the proposal, and I really don't understand it yet, so I'm going to reserve comment and see what the Electronic Freedom Foundation and others say. As you heard me say the last time I spoke with you, I came through the election, and by the election day, if anybody said the word one more time, Ebola, I would just scream. And of course, I got wonderful feedback on our little commentary on the Ebola shriek-o-meter and my choice of a shocking picture. I don't normally do shocking pictures, but I was so frustrated to see Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal for 2 weeks straight just be Ebola, 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 Ebola. And then, of course, the day after the election, it's on the seventh page. It doesn't exist. But just when you thought you were safe to go back in the water again, today on Google, at the top of Google, if you did a search, came up this little thing. You could click on it, help fight Ebola. For every dollar you give, Google will give $2. SEC says they're undertaking a comprehensive U.S. stock market review. That's interesting. And I think part of their concern is the sense that people think there's a small handful of players are getting a rigged deal. We'll see what that's about. But for the SEC to do a comprehensive review of the U.S. stock market, that's a big deal. We have a new Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, who is the Brooklyn federal prosecutor. And you take a look at her background, you wonder how much she knows about the black budget. This could be a very interesting education. Our producer today said, well, she's only going to be there for 2 years. Anyway, CERN discovery could be Higgs, could be another particle. So we see CERN coming out and waving, and you think wavering on what they've done so far, and you wonder what in the world is going on there, but there seems to be a little multiple personality. Then Alex Jones put something up on the secret features hidden in your smart TV. Many people believe the smart TVs have a two-way capacity. You can see whatever you're watching, and they can see you. And he put up a little video that shows what it looks like from the other side. So take it for what you want. It's in wildcards. Student massacres in Mexico have resulted in some very fierce protests. 43 students have been, quote-unquote, disappeared. It looks like they were massacred by the cartels after the government's turned them over. This is one of those situations, and we're seeing it all around the world, where the pushback, people are getting really fed up with having a planet that's run by organized crime. And the pushback is coming, and this is an example where the pushback is fierce, because once people realize, look, you know, this is not, there's nothing to be reasonable about. What you guys are doing is killing people, or, you know, whether you're doing it by turning them over to drug cartels or sticking vaccines in their arms. So the pushback is getting fierce. Another great example of the pushback is Mendocino County, California declares independence from the federal government. Everything within the county borders is under the jurisdiction of the county, and the federal government is, you know, clearly behind it. They're saying it's not just the sheriff, it's the whole county leadership. So they've declared, they've written a declaration of independence, and there you are. So it'll be interesting to see what the legal, their feedback is. But I think they're tired of the local marijuana growers being being targeted and rounded up and thrown in the hoosegow. I had a wonderful opportunity to speak to some high school kids this yesterday. I think I was probably a little bit too blunt, but one of the things you could tell is they're terrified. How are they going to get a college education, and how are they going to get a good education, and without getting trapped by student loans? So I put up on the blog a little commentary on the top 16 crowdfunding sites for college and education costs, as well as some links for some great articles and creative ways of financing education. We had a great talk about different ways of rethinking how you do your college and phase your work versus college and the way you organize your curriculum and your time. Some more creative ways to get through college without taking out student loans.